Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
So just to give you guys a little background on who Bryant is and how I met him, I was actually at Burning Man and just kind of minding my own business at like, I don't know, 3 in the morning at a party. And this dude came up to me with great energy and asked me a question. I think would you ask me if I knew Oliver or...
I think I just came up and said hi to you because you had a really hot girl with you.
Right. Yeah, me and Carly were just, we were kind of like working the playground, partying. And he comes up to me, he had great energy. And just, it was just kind of like a, he happened to know Oliver's girlfriend, Kennedy, who we were sharing an RV with. And then I find out that earlier that day, Oliver's like, oh yeah, Kennedy's friend's coming over. He's got like a ton of chicks with him. You know, awesome dude, and we're gonna go out in his art car. So, what proceeded to happen was kind of like a random coincidence that we just bumped into each other, but, you know, good energy attracts good energy, that's for sure. And, we ended up raging all that night, starting an orgy in our camp, going out all over, and basically just having a shitload of fun. And then we hung out the next night, did that whole thing again. More recently we hung out in LA.
Yeah, I know. It was like every night. Jeez.
Every time we hang out, we just kind of end up in a weird sort of orgy situation, which isn't the worst thing in the world.
So, like, I don't know. They're never planned. Great at closing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my favorite part about hanging out with Bryant is we never like plan this shit out. It just kind of happens. And they're always hilarious stories. It's I don't know. It's kind of so far felt like the Tucker Max of orgies. Bryant's a really interesting dude. Young guy, super successful. Has a huge following on Instagram. Successful actor, model. Just awesome, down to earth dude. So I'm super excited to have him on the show. Bryant, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. This is one of my favorite topics of conversation, so it's been good.
Yeah, so I'm glad I get to interview you because I have, you know, we've spoken a few times, but I have more questions just from my own personal, you know, reasons. And I think the guys can learn a lot from you. One thing that I want to talk to you about is like the underground dungeon scene and the BDSM scene that you're familiar with in LA. So I figured we could start there. But before that, why don't you just give the guys a background into like, you know, how you got into your career, what it is exactly you do, and, you know, anything, because the podcast is all about, as you know, my business is supporting guys to become the best versions of themselves, how to be the most attractive version to women, how to get furthest in their career, and just be an all-around awesome dude. So, you know, just tell us your story real quick.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure, man. I'd love to. Again, thank you for having me, Robbie. The thing for me is it's kind of been a relearning experience the last couple years of my life. When I was younger, I, you know, was thrown into sports, and I was kind of just, I never really thought for myself, and I lived my life kind of as a machine. I just did what, you know, people wanted me to do. I lived in the box of, like, society as where I just went to school, went to practice, went to work, you know, went home and went to bed. So it really hindered a lot of my creativity and just living life to the fullest. Even though I did excel, you know, being passionate and motivated in those certain things. So I did learn a lot of great qualities from it. But then it's kind of like you start experiencing new things and you understand there's a whole new world out there. So it's really just saying yes to certain things and just experiencing everything and kind of figuring out what you like and what you're into. And that really stemmed from, you know, being sexually open to, you know, crazy shit with, you know, a bunch of girls at one time or, you know, even pushing limits of like yourself or another girl. And work-wise, I fell into acting because I started doing reality TV, hated it, hated modeling, and I found myself really liking to be on screen, and I excelled at it. So, you know, I just went to a class, and then I ended up on a couple TV shows, and I'm working on one regularly right now. Actually, a little kid's show, so it's kind of funny that I'm on a kid's show, and then I have this whole crazy, dark, like, you know, background of all these, like, you know, dungeons and, like, crazy orgies with fucking you and whatever else. But, yeah, it's just pushing your limits and doing something every day that makes you uncomfortable, so your comfort zones get pushed farther. And that's leading a balanced life in a sense that, like, yes, you can fucking work your ass off, but also, you know, take time for yourself, get to know genuine people, have a core friend group that you can really count on and get to know. And it doesn't have to be your family. Like, don't rely on them. Don't, like, try to have a better relationship with them, because you can't really choose your family. You can choose your friend group. You know what I mean? And I've came into some great, amazing people in my life that I've considered my mentors and some of my best friends. And that's really where I've learned, you know, what I love and how to do certain things that I personally believe in. So it's really just finding simple truths in the world that you can believe in. And when you believe into something, you just tell everyone, you know what I mean? And that's a really great feeling. And I've been a lot happier the last couple of years, just really, you know, experiencing everything and being able to express myself through acting, through fucking dungeons, you know, through meeting new people.
Totally. So let's talk about the dungeon scene first, just because it's, you know, what I brought up earlier. How did you originally get into that scene? And tell us more, like, what is that? What do dungeons mean? Just assume you're talking to someone who's, like, completely green on that subject.
Absolutely. And I would honestly consider myself still green, because as many people that are into this shit, there's that many fetishes. So it's like, you'll never know, you know, exactly, but you always find out little things that'll work.
Right.
But for me, I had the weirdest experience, you know, finding what I like or whatever else. And it's nothing too weird, but a fetish is something back in the day where someone would wear around their neck and it'd be like a god to them and they'd worship it. So it's like the certain thing that, like, fucking turns you on. You know what I mean? Like, like a redhead, or like puppy play, you know, weird shit. Like something that, like, you're like, okay, I love that. Like, even like feet, like that's your fetish. Like if that turns you on, like, you don't know why, it just does. It's like a feeling.
Right.
That's what a fetish is. So for me, I found it out just by experiencing things. So I dated a pansexual girl, and she was a feminist in class. Like, this girl was just hardcore, like, you know, preaching, you know, all equal rights and stuff. And I'm not against that by any means, but, like, obviously me being cocky and whatever else, like, I would always try to, like, not attack her, but, like, push my own opinions. And it's kind of hot, like, back and forth, because I was like sapiosexual in a sense, where I was very, very into her intelligence. And she just introduced me to this weird scene where she just, like, being, you know, she was very masochistic. So, like, I'd punish her. Like, if we fought in class, I would make her, like, carry a weight to class. Like, I told her where she could go. I told her where, I pretty much ran her life, and my own. So that was, like, a very, very small version of BDSM that I got introduced to. I didn't really know what it was. Like, I couldn't put a name to it.
She, like, told you to do this? Or how did you...
She told me... No. It organically manifested.
Okay.
I was just like, all right, you're allowed to fucking do this. Like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Because, like, she's just so hard-headed, and I wanted to control her. You know? And she loved it. And I didn't know...
And that just kind of naturally occurred, is what you're saying. Like, you didn't go out to plan this. You just naturally... That relationship dynamic just kind of naturally panned out there?
Exactly. And as soon as you... The more verse you get, and the more times you do this, you'll realize the more people are into it, regardless if they know it or not. So those relationships are very easy to fall into. I mean, just like me and you the other day with that girl, you know what I mean? Like, that girl. Like, it wasn't going how we planned, so I was just like, I'm going to fucking take control of this. I'm going to tell her exactly what to fucking do. She either says no, like, I'm going to obviously ask for her consent because it's important, but, you know, I'm going to let her quiet her mind for a little bit and let me do the thinking for her, you know, and it turned out to be a great fucking night with you.
Totally.
So then I meet this older woman, about 50 years old, you know, quite a bit older than me. And she is definitely into the scene. I dated a girl, worst human being ever. And we were going this game, like, back and forth. She had a boyfriend and we were, you know, having, like, flirting over the phone, talking about whatever else, you know, and I never really closed. And eventually I called her, like, hey, listen, I was like, we're either going to do this or we're not. And she says, I'm with friends, I can't talk. I was like, that's what I thought. You're scared. I was like, I'm done. And I hung up the phone and she texted me, hit me. And I was like, what the fuck does this mean? Right. I was like, what does hit me mean? So this is a fucked up story. So then she tells me, she just goes on and on and tells me how she likes to have the rape fantasy, you know? And this is like a more of a thing than, I don't know if anybody's ever done this, but it's a thing,
yeah.
You know? And it actually ends up being my thing. Like, this is my fetish, just fucking rape. Obviously not really rape, but, like, the whole act of it, I'm very, like, primal when it comes to my sexual fantasies. So I fucking love this girl. You know what I mean? I fell in love with her 3 years later. worst human being, worst relationship, but, you know, it was a lot of fun. Like, we both didn't treat each other right. It was just like the, you can't start a relationship off of a first time rape, you know? So,
well, it's crazy to me.
I
said it was crazy to me how many girls have the rape fantasy, have the rape fetish.
Out of my mind, right?
It's insane.
It's fucking nuts. Yeah. Like, almost every other girl I talk to.
Yeah, it's
or like, or they're open to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what if you get that wrong? Like, what if you guess wrong? You know, and it's not the rape fantasy. Like, not good.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's crazy that our culture perpetuates that. You know, that's just an offspring of our culture and how our society thinks about sex, right? And I think the more that society has, like, you know, this negative outlook on sex, and sex is bad, sex is wrong, the more that perpetuates the opposite. It's just like,
absolutely,
you know, the guy who's the most against homosexuality and for, like, you know, banning homosexuals, and like the guys who are lashing out the most at that are usually the closet homosexuals having sex with little boys. You know, that's typically what you find. And it's just so crazy that, you know, people's feelings manifest like that. So anyway, sorry to interrupt. Continue on.
Definitely, and I completely agree with you. Luckily, now with that 50 Shades of Grey movie, which is absolutely vanilla, coming out, and like all the books, it's a little less taboo to speak openly about, you know, what you're into sexually. And most girls actually are very attracted to that and intrigue something in them. So you can really spark a fire quick, you know?
Totally.
But back to after the rape girl, the next one, this girl, she's older than me, and I met her in Vegas, and she was hardcore BDSM, but she was a dominant. And she was like running me through all this, and I was like, okay, yeah, I can try to be submissive. Like, I was very attracted to her, and she sends me this fucking contract where it's just like super elaborate and whatever else, you know, very wealthy woman. Like, I'm into it. So we try it out one time, and this girl makes me crawl and lick her boot. And like, at that moment, I just realized, I was like, there's no way in fuck that I'm submissive. You know what I mean? Like, good for anybody that is submissive. It's just not my thing personally, you know? So you realize what you don't like. And, in a relationship, a dom and sub relationship, submissives are the one with the most power. And it's kind of hard to comprehend, but they control the relationship. It's all about integrity and respect and mostly communication. So if you have a successful top or dom sub relationship, then you normally get better at communicating, which is good. You know, especially if it's a girlfriend or a wife or whatever else.
Yeah.
So then now it leads into, like, I start Googling everything in our research, and I get drawn into the BDSM scene in LA really fast. And you'll be surprised at the shit they have here. I mean, they have the craziest dungeons, the insane parties, you know, mostly with, you know, very interesting people, you know, and everything's really hush hush about it. So it's kind of hard to be brought in, but once you know someone, then you're taken care of really well.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think a lot of people have a weird, kind of idea or a view on what BDSM is. You know, they picture like a gimp or, you know, a bunch of people dressed in black and like weirdos. but, you know, I've always been, since I got into like the lifestyle and swinger scene, there's a lot of crossover there. And you'll see BDSM people come to swinger lifestyle parties and vice versa. So I was always surprised to notice that there's a lot of like really good looking, really cool, you know, really interesting people at some of these events, and you shouldn't have a closed eye.
Most of the people that are exterior, though, they have like the most inner problems, you know, and they're easily to control mentally. And it's not misusing anybody. It's not me misusing any of these girls or hurting them. It's really me asking them and listening to them and understanding what they fucking want, and me giving it to them and me having the control over them because I'm the one giving them what they want, and they keep fucking wanting more.
Does that make sense? And they just keep coming back. Totally.
Exactly. It's you controlling that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever studied any David Data, any of his work?
Possibly. Name doesn't ring a bell.
He's a really interesting, he's a writer, and he talks a lot about masculine, feminine dynamics. And he's always very careful to make sure that he makes the separation between, it's not male and female, it's masculine and feminine. And basically what he says is everyone has some percentage inside of them of masculine and feminine energy. And those percentages can change as you change as a person. it says most men are primarily masculine and you know, secondly feminine. I've noticed that, you know, in my journey through, you know, just improving myself when I first got into pickup and all personal growth, I was kind of towards the middle. I was maybe like 55% masculine, 45% feminine. I didn't like making decisions. I didn't like deciding, you know, telling people what to do. I avoided confrontation. I often like found myself just, you know, doing things that were, you know, playing video games or watching TV, you know, doing things that are feminine in nature, right? You can say that Mother Nature, or that's kind of feminine energy, doing things that you enjoy, you know, art, beautiful things. And then masculine energy is more direction. It's going from point A to point B, getting things done, dealing with confrontation, dealing with conflict. You know, so when people throw out the term like, yeah, this guy's not a man, typically what they mean is he's not good at dealing with conflict, or he's, you know, not making money, he's not getting things done. Those are more masculine sort of, you know, activities and events. And his theory is that you always attract your opposite. So what I first attracted, you know, when I really didn't attract a whole lot, because, you know, the girls that I liked were beautiful women, tend to be more feminine, and they're going to want a guy who's typically more masculine, unless she's like a tranny, right? A beautiful tranny is going to look for a really feminine guy, if she's a masculine tranny. And I noticed that as I got better, I started attracting more and more feminine women. Carly's a great example of a highly, highly feminine girl. And before I developed, you know, myself into a more masculine guy, I would have never been able to handle her. So I think that it was interesting how you, you certainly noticed when you were put in that feminine role as a submissive, it just wasn't for you. And I could certainly relate to that. And yeah. Did you see yourself kind of evolving on that framework that I just mentioned? And what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And I think now, to this day, I'm a little more, I'm definitely exercising more of the creative side. And it's really just being able to tap into both of those energies. So being in the middle, and like I said earlier, just kind of balance, is probably the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. I constantly struggle with, like, some days I'm like, or some months I'm like extremely masculine and like very assertive, aggressive energy, you know, and then I'll be laid back. And I kind of have like a more feminine energy where I just kind of like let things come to me and I like create with them. And then I kind of like, it's like a rebirthing kind of thing, you know, and they go on their way.
Right.
Being able to tap into both those things, because I think it's so important to be able to, you know, conquer in the business world and then, you know, be in touch with, you know, your creative side and your kind of more relaxed, like joyful, peaceful side, you know. But yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like, you know, the rivers thing where it's like always, you know, it's always changing, but it always looks the same. You know, if you're always changing on the inside and growing as a person, you know, not that self-perfection is ever really attainable, but it's really just, you know, just kind of figuring out what makes you happy. And then whatever social situation calls for how you need to act, you can rise to the occasion to do it, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And it's so important to have a balance and to be able to tap into both. Because if you're just all masculine, you know, you're not going to enjoy life. You're going to just be kind of going through things. You're going to be a really angry person, probably like a workaholic, right? And if you're just way too much in your feminine, then, you know, you're probably not going to get a whole lot done. You know, you might be just kind of floating through life, maybe addicted to drugs. That's more of like a feminine sort of quality, you know, just kind of letting life happen to you. And you'll always attract your opposite. You know, if you want really highly feminine, beautiful women, you're going to have to be able to tap into that masculine side to meet their energy there.
I think it's crazy to me that you attract your opposites, because I constantly think in my head, I imagine this, you know, this very successful female, you know, and then I get to know her, I'm just like, you know, maybe I want the more laid back one. And then with her, it's really, I know, it's confusing to me. I can't, it's hard to find the one, you know?
Totally. And that's the thing that's so hard about it is like, as your vibe changes and her energy changes, right, you know, you kind of can go in and out of relationships so easily.
I think the people you surround yourself with and like your core group of friends definitely kind of put you in the box of how you're supposed to act. You know, if you started off with very like masculine energy, you know, where like you're a leader and you're going point A to point B, like you said, it's hard to you know, show the other side of you.
Totally. Yeah, and that's the amazing thing about, you know, a festival like Burning Man is it's really the cool thing about Burning Man is it's a mixture of both because it takes so much preparation to get there. And that's a masculine sort of energy. Either you've got to make a lot of money and just basically join a plug and play camp, but being able to make all that money so you can just pay it to, you know, fly in, have an RV waiting for you, have a baller ass camp ready for you, and then you just get to go and enjoy. You know, that took a huge amount of masculine energy to attain. Or you got to go and you got to build the damn thing. You got to bring all your supplies. You got to bring your fucking tent. You got to do it like an insane amount of work. And then once you're done, then you get to experience the joy of this festival, which is a just insane amount of feminine energy with lights and fucking colors and music. And it's just like this huge celebration of the feminine. And then within that, right, there's more masculine energy that you have to control too. Where do you go? Like, you know, what do you do? There's just infinite possibilities. Do you, you know, ride out to the fucking trash fence on your bike at, you know, 7 a.m. and watch the sunrise? Or do you go to like a car washing station where you get naked with, you know, 30 other people and they scrub your body down? You know, these are decisions to make.
Yeah, you're describing it better than I could. I don't know. Your Burning Man experience sounded way more interesting. I was at the orgy tent the whole time.
Yeah, right. The good old orgy dome. So one thing that I was really intrigued by with you, Brian, is it's really rare to meet a dude who's had so much success with women at a young age that he's not really like hunting pussy. And that's something that I've had to learn, and it's something I recently got, like, not too long ago, probably within the last 6 months to a year, where sex has just become just, you know, easy, kind of effortless, and then I realized that pursuing sex so hard was actually getting me less sex, and absolutely. From what I've seen, you, I've seen you turn down sex with, like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 chicks already, and we've only hung out, like, 3 nights.
Yeah.
So speak a little bit to that.
So that it's just, I always like to, if I have a good group of guy friends, like I'd rather have quality time with them than go out and, you know, hook up with a girl, only because I am into the theatrics of it. Like you kind of like your self-worth, like, and this is the feminine energy of me talking, like after fucking it all the time, like all these girls, like even I ate it one time, you know what I mean? It just gets to the point where it's just like, okay, like I know what to expect, you know? So it's just like, it's not, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because it's going to be something absolutely fucking crazy, you know? And, you know, or it's going to be like a girl I'm very attracted to. And I'm kind of saving up that energy and that, like, that male dominance to experience that. So it's always going to, I'm always going to remember when I have that new experience. Does that make kind of sense? It's not that I'm tired of having sex. It's not that I don't want to. It's just like, I want to obviously make sure my friends are taken care of. If they want it, they want it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's also like a very unattractive for girls. And it's kind of like a little ploy I do where I'm not going to be the one like forcing like a girl to get it. But I think it's fucking hot when a girl turns down every guy and comes and fucks me because I'm not giving her any attention. You know what I mean? But I give her the look. I'm throwing little cues there that like makes her think like, oh, is he interested in me? You know? And she's like, because they at the end of the day want what they can't have. As much as we do too. And in my opinion, if a girl will fuck somebody else there, then she's not really worthy of me in that sense. Or I like to think of that of myself because it makes me feel more powerful and more dominant.
Gotcha. You know?
So when I do fuck her, it's like, I'm on point.
That totally makes sense. Totally. Which takes a lot of self-restraint.
And it's exhausting.
It takes a lot of self-restraint.
Sure. You mean, we had like 6, like 4 girls the other day. Like, it's just like, I could, but look at the other guys we were with. Not naming any names, but they look stupid, right?
Totally. Totally. And then the other cool thing too is, you know, it's so fun to get your friends laid. You know?
Fuck yeah, what do you mean? I live for that shit. I live for creating experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what gives me joy. Like, I know how I'm going to feel after, you know, however that was. But if I can get my buddy to have a foursome, like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do it, man.
It's so easy to grow a social circle, because we talk a lot about in the group of growing a social circle of hot girls who, you know, who are your friends that you can then basically use as social capital. Not use and abuse, but, like, for example, you at Burning Man, you show up with, like, 6 girls on your art car, right? And
absolutely. And that's a long con.
Yeah. So it's like
having in your back pocket.
How did you cultivate those relationships? And you know, there's a fine line because when you don't fuck these girls, they really want to fuck you. Right. And then, so you have to walk the line of, all right, maybe you fuck them a little bit, but you don't want to kill the friendship because the friendship is valuable. Or maybe you don't fuck them at all, but you don't want them to get jealous. Or maybe, you know, so there's the whole like friend zoning versus not. How do you, how do you manage those?
So I would say there's about two or three different ways to do that. One way is through BDSM, like we were talking about earlier, where they're your full-time slaves or submissives, and they'll literally do whatever the fuck you say. So if I take them to parties and I want them to sleep with someone, they will. Or if I want them to fuck each other and everyone to watch, they will. You know, it's kind of having like five or six girls that I can bring to any, you know, swingers party or any party and just like show off. So it makes me look cool, makes me feel cool. It makes them happy because they love doing it. And it's kind of like all around like voyeurism where it's just like, wow, this guy's, you know, amazing. Little story. I remember I went to one of the fetish clubs in LA and I had five girls on a leash. And I walked in with these five girls on leashes and everyone just looked at me, you know, cause nobody there is more than one like slave with them, you know? So then I had them all bowing at my feet, looking like their head down, and I just looked up and everyone was just staring. And I was like, honestly, probably the best moments of my life. So there's that way, which it doesn't actually, it's not as hard as it sounds. Like you just need to find one attractive girl that is into the scene and make her your slave. And then if she's bisexual, she'll get a girlfriend and they'll get a girlfriend. And then it's kind of like adds on really, really fast. So you're pretty much not really doing much besides just giving orders. It's pretty fun. Or, you know, actually generally become friends with them because it's kind of a battle of a wit. And if you really try to have a deep conversation, you know, with any of these girls, they're kind of like, oh wow, nobody is taking me serious as a human. Nobody really wants to get to know my soul and understand me, you know, because they can't. It's hard for them to relate to guys too, and you need to understand that. Like, no guy's going to really talk about, like, are you happy? You know, simple questions like that. Are you happy? Like, what's going on? You know, how's, like, even how is your day? Like, simple, simple things where if they give you an answer and listen, and then you're in, you know? And that means a lot to them more than you even know, and I'm getting to know that. So it's bringing other girls around. So if I make friends with a girl, then I introduce her to my other friend that's a girl, and then they talk, you know, and it's kind of like, it starts like a little group. So really, really feed off the group, and you go do things together, you know, and you try not to fuck it up. But if you do, which is definitely going to happen because it always does, you know, just have the conversation immediately after. Like, hey, you know, I really care about you as a person, and there's no way we should make this, you know, this ruin our friendship because, you know, you're amazing. And it's just, it's all about communication in that sense.
Right. So, you know, I've had a little bit of experience with, you know, managing multiple girlfriends at the same time, the sort of slave thing you talked about. I've never had more than two at one time. What was it like managing five and how long did that last?
Sure. So it all starts with the main core girl. Like I said earlier, for me, she was, you know, very good looking, very submissive, and it's communicating with her and making her feel special in some way. So that's even just with as simple as a title, where I would call her my slave and I would call the other girls my submissives because they were just there sexually for us. And she was there as a slave where she would come into the room, you know, sit down, fold her clothes, kneel. I would have to invite her in. She, you know, she would have everything ready for me. She would serve drinks for my guests, you know, and then when the other girls came over to play, you know, I'd use them as human furniture. They would almost listen to her, like we could top them together, which was very hot to me, you know, and they respected her as even more than they respected me. So just kind of creating that dynamic where it just one girl has to feel special. Like if that's your girl, make sure she knows that. She is completely fine with having her own girlfriend. And that's kind of what happened with us. Like she got her own girlfriend and I definitely slept with both of them all the time, but it's still kind of like giving a little more attention to the other one and giving her the title of, you know, girlfriend or slave. Like I didn't call the other one my girlfriend. It was kind of, it was her girlfriend. Does that make sense?
Totally. And what was your, you know, what was kind of your relationship like outside of the master slave dynamic? You know, how often would you see, I guess you could call her your primary girlfriend too, right? In some,
sure. At that point, I lived with her. She lived with me for a little bit and that worked out great. The relationship lasted for a while. Like we definitely had more girls that we played with consistently and went out with than that we had as actual girlfriends. She was, you know, she did a lot of things for me, you know, laundry, cooked, my homework if I needed it, pretty much anything. And I, you know, I took her to fun things. I, you know, really listened to her as a human. I communicated with her if she needed anything. I made sure that was taken care of, whether it was sexually or, you know, with money or whatever else. And it's not that you have to be a baller for this relationship to kind of to happen. It's really just listening to their needs and being the person to give it to them.
Right.
It's kind of a mental domination thing.
Yeah. Because I've run into trouble in some of my, you know, dom sub relationships where I live with a girl, you know, our lives are totally intertwined. But I've noticed from myself, I think the mistake I'll make is I will kind of fail to guide them enough. You know, fail to manage what they're doing all the time, because it takes a lot of fucking work, right? And a lot of the time I just want to be like, listen, I'm just going to do my thing and, you know, leave me alone, right? But then if they're used to being so submissive, they don't know what to fucking do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really hard, because so I got lucky that this girl didn't want to go out all the time. She didn't want to, you know, go get drunk and be out of control. So I didn't really have to, be, I guess, on top of things when it comes to like punishments or any sort of just like vocally expressing what I didn't like with her. Like she was very good at listening. But yeah, you got to be on top of things, man. Like even if it's just making sure she gets home at a certain time, making sure she doesn't abuse drugs or alcohol, and punishing for that, or just making it very vocal that she's not fucking allowed to do that. And it's for the best for her, you know? And make sure everything's for the best for her. Make sure you don't affect her relationship with her family. Make sure you don't affect her, like, work and, like, or any sort of religion, you know? Just make sure those kind of things. And then just kind of, like, kind of portray it as it's being the best for her, you know? So, like, I'm good on my own. You're good on your own. But together, we're fucking amazing. We can conquer the world. And it's got to be that kind of mentality, you know?
Right. Right. That's great. Because it's so easy for people to fall into codependent relationships where, you know, they make the relationship everything. And if, you know, I love what you said, you're good on your own, I'm good on my own, and we're better together. And you can kind of look at the relationship as
an enhancement thing.
Yeah. You kind of look at it as there's three units. There's you, there's her, and then there's your relationship.
Absolutely. And that goes back to something I said earlier. It's not wrong to use your significant other, you know, in whatever way. It's not wrong to even use your friends. It's wrong to misuse them. And that's really just being vocal about what you want and like asking what they want genuinely.
Right. Okay, that was a lot of fucking awesome info. There's so many questions I could
could go forever for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, one guy just asked in the group. He says, "Are you this way with everyone in your life, or is it just with your girlfriends?"
Great question. Actually, it's definitely not with everyone, and it's not with every girlfriend as well. It's kind of like a thing that triggers with me where I'll start from the beginning. You know, I'll be like this, and this, and either it works or it doesn't. And with a girl I'm seeing right now, actually, like we tried to transform, because I vocalized her. I'm like, hey, I'm really into, you know, I'm kind of sadistic. You know, I'm very dominant. I would love to have a relationship with you. And I like sent her a contract, and she read it, and she loved it, and she was super into it as well. But I just couldn't get there mentally because I was already her friend, and I already kind of had a little love for her, you know, not in love or anything like that, but I just couldn't bring myself to having that kind of relationship. And it's a weird thing. It's kind of, you just feel it out, but it is very easy to pick up very attractive girls going into it wanting to be dominant.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit more,
you know, like,
because, you know, I think there's a lot of guys who are good, right? They can get a hot girlfriend or something, but they're not sure how to transition into this contractual sort of setup. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the contract thing, because I think that's very important, because you set the ground rules, there's expectations, you know, it's a document you can come back to. It's a living, breathing document.
Yeah, I'll send I have a couple of contracts. I'll send one of them, just the basic one. I'll send it to the group chat, the group blog, or send it to you so you can post it. So whoever wants to use it, they can use that, or just look it over. Just because that'll help a lot, even just getting everybody going.
Right. How do you have that conversation? You know, so you meet a girl, you know, how do your, you know, you meet her, whatever, through a friend or through a network. And let's say she's not in, she doesn't really know about the scene or anything, but she likes you and she's open to it. How would you navigate her into one of these relationships?
Sure. I mean, most girls will have some sort of, like, they'll kind of know if they like some sort of like a very dominant male. They'll kind of know. And that's like going up, introducing yourself. Hey, I'm Bryant. Good to meet you. And not letting her ask any questions. So it's automatically you telling her. You're controlling, if you're ever in a working environment, making sure you're controlling that situation where it's your ideas, your opinion. And it's really just, it's controlling the whole, this whole scenario. So let me think the other day, like, this girl, yeah, man. So this fucking weirdest story happened the other day, actually, like 3 days ago. This girl was over, and the easiest way to explain this stuff is through a story. So this girl was over. It was me and freaking four of my guy friends. This girl was here, and let me see if I can find my text messages, and that'll make it a little easier to explain. She was great. She ended up, like, being super submissive. She was, like, some couple's pet for, like, a couple years, and, like, she just fell into my lap visiting in L.A. for her first time. It's pretty crazy. Like, I found people like this, you know what I mean? See. Really being, it's, like, telling, not asking. So you do a lot of dumb sub stuff, too, right, Rob?
Yeah, I do. It kind of just... It's weird because I don't really think about it, but I'm just very dominant naturally, just in terms of my lifestyle. And when I'm in a relationship with a girl, I tend to want to kind of take care of, you know, I want to take care of everything. In that way I control everything, right? Like my last few girlfriends, you know, when I met them, they were, you know, they had careers, but they weren't really like, you know, career women, for example. And I always have so many businesses going and so much stuff going on that our relationships would grow really fast and they'd become, you know, really intimate and really deep really quickly to the point where, and I travel so much and I'd want them to come with me. So I'd invite them, you know, to Europe or to South America. And in order for them to be mobile, a lot of the time they would kind of have to leave what they were doing and just kind of follow me, right? And then I'll give them work to do. Basically, I'll kind of like manage their life in order for them, you know, in order so I can have them around all the time. So it just kind of turns into this me taking care of all of the logistics and them just being with me, working for me. And so it's not like, I think there's a lot of room for improvement with what I do because it gets me in a lot of trouble. Just in terms of, you know, I'm kind of setting this frame, but then I don't manage it properly a lot of the time, if that makes sense.
It's also exhausting. So it's also knowing what you're capable of managing.
Right.
I think because it takes so freaking time consuming, man, especially if you have like three or four of them. You know, ideally you want that core one where you can manage your life, where you can have like sync schedules where, you know, you're where she's going to be at all times, blah, 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 which is a beautiful thing. So, okay. So I pulled up this message with this girl named Madison. So I guess she was at my house. I don't really remember. She messaged me on Instagram and I was like, did I meet you last night? And she said, accurate. I was like, you're cute. Should have stayed. She goes, the guy came with, wanted to leave, but I wanted to stay. I was like, I wanted you to stay. She said, should have said something. I have a major, blah, 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 blah. I was like, what are you doing tonight? And then she said, I'm here till Saturday. So I was just like, here's my cell. And then he goes into text message. She goes, hey, it's Madison. This is good. You like this. It's pretty much
Brian, that was all over
the text message.
That was all over Instagram before you transitioned to text?
No, that was a direct message she sent me. So with me, I like to close within three text messages. So I say, hey there, exclamation point, very energetic. She's like, hey, and then I say, what's your schedule like this week? And then she says, tells me. And then I say, here's my cell. Like, let's hang out Friday. I said, I'll see you Friday or some shit like that. And she's like, Madison. I was like, I better see you tonight. She's like, it's going to be hard for neither of us know where the other one is. I gave her my address. That's it. She goes, Trader Joe's. I said, above it. And then she said, I'd leave Saturday. But what are you doing here? I was like, come over tonight. I'll text you later. And then she said, I don't know about tonight. And then I was just like, I didn't reply. And I was like, hey, come over before you go out. I'm going to go to bed early. And then I'll see you tonight. So just closing. It's just assuming the close, kind of like how you do with sales. And then when she gets here, it's just like, she's talking to my friends, whatever else, and I just leave. I just left. You know what I mean? And it's me texting, I was like, hey, good meeting you. And she's like, you're not coming back. I was like, no, I wasn't really feeling it. And she's like, come back. And then I came back, and then they left, and I ended up closing. And it's just kind of like me and you and that other girl the other day, where we're just like, it's not going as fast as we want to go, and time is the only thing we have in this world. So it's pretty much just like, it's going to happen or it's not. Because no means nothing to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And no is attracted to me. I have more respect for girls when they tell me no than anything, you know, so I don't mind them doing it.
Totally.
You know?
Well, the story from the other night is interesting. You know, so we're out, end up back at Brian's house. I don't remember exactly who was there, but I'm pretty sure it ended up.
You remember week before that, the porn star gets dragged out on
Jesus.
Stretcher.
So we're at the Abbey. It's a Wednesday night. I think it was like two Wednesdays ago. And with a porn star, and she's just like sloppy fucking drunk. Ends up getting taken out on a stretcher from the Abbey.
Man, I have the worst taste in women, I'm telling you.
So that was interesting. So then we go back to your place, right? And you invited some people over. And there was the one really aggressive dude who was just giving off bad vibes. And then the girl...
Can't be that guy, yeah.
Yeah, the other girl. And then your friend Nola, right? Were there two girls or were there three girls at one time?
Great. I think there's like three or four, yeah.
But, yeah, I think the ratio is in our favor.
Yeah, I think we kind of hung out. The ratio is okay, but it's not as good as we normally have it.
Right.
But I think like it's kind of like me and you were hanging out, and like we didn't really give as much attention to the girls as all the guys were. And it's kind of like we had our own secret club, and like all the girls wanted to be a part of it, you know? So it's kind of like creating that little energy, you know? But even if the girls came, like it was a very open, loving energy for them to be there if they wanted to be.
Right.
You know, and then just letting it happen accordingly. But then also trapping them when they're there and telling them how to fucking do it and what we want. So it was a beautiful thing.
It was good. Yeah, we were just kind of broing out, talking about Burning Man, playing music. You know, I was trying to bro out with the other guy too, but he was just really aggressive. And, you know, he was the worst, right? And and we knew that nothing was going to go down until he left. But we couldn't, like, really push him to leave, because then it kind of makes you look, it makes us look like we're trying to make something happen, which is going to scare the girls off, right? So, you know, unless he does something over the top, we can't really kick him out. But eventually he just kind of leaves, and I think we just kind of ignored him, and he got the hint. I can't remember exactly, because I was pretty fucked up. But it ended up just being me, you, and Nola. And then... she was very just like, just down, right? Showing all sorts of, me and you were just like sitting on the bed, and she just like crawled in between us, I think. Unless you summoned her over. I don't remember.
Yeah, something like that.
And
she,
then,
she was fun. Loved her.
Yeah. And then, so explain how you, and then you, basically what happened was you knew her before. And I know you, so I knew that you would basically take the masculine role in that situation, and I knew that if you and I got into like a competitive situation where like both trying to call the shots, then it ruins it, right? Because not, you know, even if there's three people, you still have to have that balance. So I was basically letting you lead the way, and it worked out perfectly because you fucking made it happen, right? So why don't you explain what you did after that, if you remember? I can do my best, but
it's kind of vague. I know it went really, really well though. I just remember I was telling you, I was like, hey, take your clothes off. I think you went to the bathroom. I was like, hey, Nola, take your clothes off right now. I mean, that's pretty much all I said, because it's either going to go yes or no, right? So I tell her that. She takes them all off. You come. And I was like, okay, now I was like, take his pants off. And I was like, all right, I said something like, get him hard or something like that. I was like, do your thing. She's great. I mean, like, I've actually never hooked up with her before, so I was new. I was just doing what I normally do, so I wasn't really sure if it was going to work or not. I just know that regardless of the fact, it wouldn't have been awkward between us because we're friends.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So she does that with you, and then you immediately, oh, no. So then I was like, okay, you're going to listen to everything I fucking say. And she's like, yeah. She's like, yes. I was like, no. You say, yes, sir. And she's like, yes, sir. And then I was like, okay. I was like, you're going to take care of him, and then you're going to let him dominate you, and I'm gonna watch. And then you immediately fucking go, okay, since I'm in charge now, I want you to fucking take his pants off and get him hard. I was like, this bastard.
Yep.
I was like, all right, fuck it. I mean, because normally I was just going to chill, you know, and do, like, you do your thing.
Yeah. Then, well, I think you passed out as she was giving you head.
I was so fucking high. I got high. Yeah, it's bad. But like, to pull that off high, though, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. But it was interesting though, because when you said all those things, I was like, okay, I can, you know, take a back seat here, and this is great, right? But at the same time, just my nature, right? I can't be like the only one. Like, I just feel bad. I feel like wrong and guilty about getting all that attention, because I want you to have fun too, right? So as soon as you kind of relinquish power to me, I was like, all right, now you go back to him.
Exactly. It was kind of like building a trust with her, me and her, and then her, like, when she started trusting me, when I gave the power over to you, her immediately trusting you. And it was like having a dynamic where it was just like a fine-tuned machine where we're all going to have fun regardless.
Right.
You know, and no one's going to feel used or anything like that at the end of it.
Yeah. And then after, as I was like putting on my clothes to leave, she's like, I have no idea what your name is. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what yours is either. And she's like,
that's the most attractive thing I've ever heard.
It was great. And then we had a hilarious text conversation. I was like, well, here, put your number in, save a fake name. I don't want to know your real name. And then we've been texting back and forth, just like making fun of the fact that...
Yeah, it's the theatrics of it. It makes it fun, totally. You know? I love that. I love that.
Yeah. And she's hot as fuck.
And I'm sure we'll have some great times ahead. She's so hot. Stupid hot. Are you kidding me? I'm glad though. I didn't know I was going to pull that off. I was lucky. And also, that's what BDSM does for you, you know what I mean? In those situations, it helps you close.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool that you can do that with a friend, right? So up until then, what was your relationship like with her?
She was actually one of my first friends when I moved to LA. I've known her about a year and a half, and we used to just hang out with you know, her friends or whatever else, and we've never even kissed before that, you know? But it was like one of those things, if you're coming over at 2 a.m., you're going to get fucked. Like,
right.
that's it.
When there must have been some sexual tension between you guys.
Sure, and that's easy to tell. I mean, you can start sexual tension with just like a touch or like eye contact or anything like that. You know, if you have any interest in any of your friends, it's really easy to capitalize that or just, you know, figure out if there's anything back.
Right. Because some guys are so worried about like, oh, I'm in the friend zone with that girl. Like, oh, you know, once I'm in the friend zone, there's no getting out. Or I'd have to make this...
I don't know,
that's
like one of the best places to be.
Yeah. Or I'd have to make this big grand gesture. And here's a situation where, you know, you're in the friend zone, but you're not like in the friend zone. You choose to be her friend, right? Let's get rid of that stupid label. Exactly. Like you've chosen to be her friend up until this point. And then she comes over at 2 a.m. and she's giving off the signals and you just say, hey, get naked right now. Right. And she listens. And then you establish the dominant frame. And if she would have said no,
it's
big deal.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. You know, that is what it is. It's also projecting the best version of yourself, because at the end of the day, girls do like success. They like confident men. And it's always kind of having that. Like, if you are around girls that are your friends, like, still be wary about that. If, like, if you eventually want to sleep with them, make sure you are, you know, a man or you know, somehow, like, being something that's interesting to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Totally. Yeah, they've, you know, the seduction starts a lot. The seduction starts years before you even say hello to her. It starts with, you know, you becoming the best man you can be, going to the gym, you know, being successful, eating good foods, right? That is seduction, like being an awesome dude. And then the girls who show up in your life, they instantly recognize that.
Yeah, and also if there's any guys that are listening right now that keep seeing a girl or anything like that, you know, they think they're attracted to whoever else. I've done this probably 4 or 5 times, and it's probably one of the most things I've ever, like, been most proud of in my life. If I see a girl multiple times, like, hey, you know, I've seen you before, you know, whether I was just out or at work or I guess any random place, I've seen you before. I was like, hey, if I see you 3 more times, it's fate. I'm going to give you my number, and I just walk away. And I've ran into that girl, like, that situation's happened a couple of times where I ran into a girl 3 times, and I give her my number, and we hit it off, and it turns into, like, a relationship kind of thing, you know? Because there's no way to, sometimes you want to leave it up to mystery, you know? Like, if you see a girl, like, you're scared to go up to talk to her, but, like, you want to know what she's about, but it's just, like, planting a seed. So it's planting little seeds everywhere. you know, for girls that you could possibly sleep with.
Totally.
It's not worrying about if it's the one that got away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about it. It's always going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if there's so much shit we could talk about. let's see if anyone has any questions. Because there's been a lot of interesting topics, and we haven't really had any calls like this before, where we've gotten really into like BDSM or sexuality or, you know, girlfriends or managing this energy. Yeah. So, guys, go ahead. If you have any questions, either post in the group or ask away.
Yeah, Brian. So in the beginning, you were like explaining a scenario about how in a bar or something that you won't even really try to approach a girl, or you'll just give her some look or something, and you'll just do much less than what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. And when I think I'm doing that, but all I'm really doing is just looking at them and maybe saying something, and nothing ever comes of it. So I'm really curious about if you could elaborate more on like what exactly do you do in those situations.
I fucking love that question, only because that is the number one way I pick up women, and I could explain all day about it. That is like my go-to way to pick up girls. So I learned this when I was like 9 years old from my older cousin, and I don't know why it works so well, but it does. So if you see a girl from across the room, and this is a good way if you're scared of getting turned down, it's like a 9 times out of 10 way to know if a girl's into you or not, and if she'll give you the time of day, or if you're going to waste your time if you go up to her, like you're going to get turned down, like you'll be able to figure it out by just this one move. So if a girl is like, you know, walking in front of you or sitting down at the bar or however the situation is, you give her the look where it's just like, you know, you look your best, you look at her, make eye contact, and you give her a little smirk or you smile even. You know, so immediately, then I look away, she looks away, and then you either walk past her, you're still at the bar, and then if you look back behind you, you know, if she's walking, or if you look back over at her, and if she looks at you again, and you give her the smile again, if you get that smile back a second time, which I call the double take, there is no way, if you don't go over and say hi to that girl, she won't just sit down and talk to you, or she'll, like, you know, not be happy that you did that. So, I mean, you can tell off the energy, like, if you're just looking at a girl, you're just looking at a girl, but if you give her that one smile, you look away, and then you get the double take the second time, if you go up to her, she will talk to you. I promise you that. And try it out. Yeah, of course, man. I've been doing it for a long time, and it's so simple like that. You know, because it's really hard to go up a girl that's not looking at you. You know, she's facing the wrong direction. She's gorgeous. She hasn't seen you yet. Like, all these things. But with, like, that little move, it's really easy to know if a girl won't mind if you go up and talk to her.
This is really interesting because it sounds a lot more specific, but exactly like something a friend girl told me 10 years ago, and it never made sense to me. It was like, wait a minute, that sounds retarded. I don't understand.
But I learned it when I was 9.
That's amazing.
Dude, I don't know what it is. It's just that one little thing. Cause I at the end of the day, I am scared to go up to girls. You know, I don't want to have to do that. I'd rather them come to me. Like, unfortunately it doesn't work like that. You know, you're never going to know until you try. So this is kind of the thing that gives me inner confidence to go up and, you know, say hello or like close the deal, you know, regardless if she has a boyfriend or not, you know. Cool, man.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you for the question.
So just to get this straight, you look at her, you smile, and you look away first, and then you look back, and if she's looking at you, you smile again, and she's smiling, you're good.
If she smiles,
right,
then I'm good. That simple.
Yeah, anytime you get... and I'm asking, is it important that you look away first, the first time?
That's gonna happen either way. You know, you can look away. If you can hold her gaze, do it. But it's also like you'll figure it out. Like after like doing it 10 times, you'll know. Like try it in the mall. That's what I would recommend. I'd go walk around in the mall and then find a cute girl that's walking past you. Look at her, and then while you pass her, look behind you and see if she looks back. And that's when you know.
Like, it's like the Dockers commercial.
I promise you, it's so easy. Yeah.
You remember the Dockers commercial in San Francisco? Where the guy, they're on the San Francisco trolley, and it was that exact scenario. Sees a girl, they smile, they both like, you know, they walk past each other. As they walk past each other, they look at each other and smile at each other, and then they keep going. The girl jumps on the trolley, and then the guy turns around, and she's just there staring at him, and then it says, Dockers. Because when you wear Dockers,
yeah, it's pretty much
you get all the
without
pussy.
Saying it that I'm into you.
Exactly.
That's great.
Such a retarded commercial, but But they totally nailed it with the, you know, with the eye contact and sexual tension.
And don't ever discourage when it doesn't work, because it doesn't work for all of us all the time, you know. But it's the one, if you are afraid to go up and talk to a girl or afraid of rejection, it's knowing a little bit in your head, like, okay, there's a good chance because it worked, you know.
Yeah, and it's a great exercise too, because if you're uncomfortable with sexual tension, if you're uncomfortable with eye contact, you're going to be the one that want to look away really fast, and you're going to be the one that want to kind of, you know, when she sees you and she catches you looking at her, you're going to feel like you got caught. But you want her to catch you. You want to get caught. You want to smile at her, and you want to make her feel like she's the one getting caught.
And that's also practicing that face in the mirror. I'm telling you, because when I did that, like, I didn't know. I was doing the wrong face at first, you know, but then when I got, like, the very inviting, you know, I'm attracted to you kind of face down, then that helped a lot. Normally, I was just, like, smiling, like, I'm going to, you know, eat your children or something kind of look. You know, it's practicing that in the mirror a couple of times.
Yeah, it's much more of a, you know, it's much more of a smirk than, like, a big, you know, smile, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah. You can do the kind one, too, and you can do the sexy one as well, where it's, like, a very, like, dominant smirk, too. Like, if you're at a club, that's a good one to do, like, a dominant smirk, where you just, like, squint your eyes a little bit and smile, you know, in, like, kind of a power position.
Yeah, we should find some pictures of this. I think it'd be helpful to pull some pictures.
I will. I'll send one of both of those. I'll send the do's and the do and the don't.
Yeah, please do. I'll post them right away. Well, cool. Thanks for that question. What else do you guys got?
If I want to find a group, you said you kind of have to know somebody, but is there a way to find one on the web and show up to a cool group, or is it just an underground type of thing?
Yeah, you can try FetLife.com. The only thing with that is it's very, the people aren't as attractive. It's kind of a lot of, like, weirder environment, you know, and they don't really are that. They're not that welcoming to newcomers. You can definitely try and find, there's, like, a bunch of people on it. Like, you can find girls on there that are all into it, and you can kind of look at, like, the different fetishes and whatever else. And there's events probably near you, like, 3 or 4 a day. So you can always just go and try it out, but it's better to be introduced by someone, inducted by someone, just so people don't think you're just a random, like, a weird guy. But there's no harm in trying it, you know, especially if you bring a girl. Then it's always easier, you know, instead of just being the guy by yourself.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Of course, man.
And Brian, would you ever recommend any sort of, you know, intro to BDSM classes or workshops or things like that?
You can, YouTube is going to be your biggest friend. And there's, like, literally endless blogs that you can read. Within, you know, a day, you can be pretty versed in it. Hands-on stuff, I would definitely recommend, you know, figuring it out online, what exactly you like and whatever else, and then going and figuring out more in depth and learning by someone. Again, FetLife has a bunch of classes you can take. There's dungeons you can be, like, I guess, yearly subscribers to, you know, and they have classes there where they'll bring dominatrix in or whatever else. So there's, like, thousands of things on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally. Awesome, man. So I think we'll wrap it up. Fucking awesome call. Thank you so much for coming on. I learned a lot. I'm sure everyone else did too. And
oh yeah, no, as did I, man. I'm glad. I like telling our stories. Hopefully more to come.
We've only got, what, 3 nights and we have this many stories. It's retarded. Where can guys, you know, find you if they want to ask questions or anything, or if you want to, you know, post anything about, you know, where can people, you know, if there's anything more you want to give,
you know, any questions at all. And I know it's hard to go on, like, a group chat and ask a specific question. Anything you want to ask about BDSM, you can reach me either a DM on Instagram would probably be the best way. And it'll be between us. And as much as you want to know, I'm very willing to tell you. So, and there's not a bad question, because trust me, I had some of the weirdest questions when I was first starting out. My Instagram is Bryant Wood TV, BryantWoodTV, and then shoot me a direct message, and anything you fucking know, I'm here for you guys. Like, I wish I had this kind of mentorship, because it took me 5 years to figure out the do's and don'ts, you know, and I had plenty of my embarrassing moments. So.
Awesome, dude. Well, thanks so much, and thanks for everyone else for being on the call, and we'll talk to you soon.